I'll tell you the reason why I like to record what we're saying. Somebody came to our house Thursday. Did I mention it to you on the phone?
Yeah.
And they're doing some market research. This is what it's about. The National Treasury of Spoken English. A group of leading dictionary publishers and universities are participating in a government-funded research project to compile a national treasury of the English language. For the first time, dictionary writers and language researchers will be able to show how words are used in ordinary, everyday conversation. The British Market Research Bureau, an independent market research agency, are asking a large cross-section of people around the country to help with this task by recording their conversations. These will then be transcribed on computer and built into a database which will contain several million words. The tapes and conversation details will all be completely anonymous, so no one will know who has used the words or whose voices are on the tape. But together they will provide a permanent record of how the English language was spoken in the 1990s. So we talk about what we want. And you know what we're interested in the most?
going on holiday.
Yeah. So, yeah. It could be alright, couldn't it, going to Canaries? Yes.
Are you ready for
Tim? Yes, it's all right. Yeah. It's recording now.
Oh! Thank you.
Mind you know, on the instructions, it told me to really don't tell the people the recordings are until afterwards. And if they want it wiping off after, well, that's all right, you know. Mm. I can go over the tape or wipe parts of it off. So...
Who was it you handing it in then afterwards?
Somebody came to my house on Thursday.
And what do they pay you?
Well... They are paying me a little bit. I think it ought to go up in price a bit though myself. they give me there's 20 tapes, you know, hour and a half each tape. And yeah. There's 20 of them, and they don't expect me to fill both sides of all them tapes, but they give them to me just in case I do. Mm-hmm. They give me £25 worth of Marks and Spencer
vouchers.
Yeah.
So what they're going to do is make another grammar or altering the English language speech or?
Well, it's rather strange you should ask that question, because I've just bought an English a dictionary about a month ago, and there's words in this dictionary. I said to myself, well, fancy putting them, that's slang, you know. But they're probably thinking another 50 years, that slang will be the vocabulary of, you know.
Can I, just for 1 minute? I only give example.
Yes.
When I came to England, I speak perfect Italian.
Yes.
And I thought the English language has got about 50% of Roman words.
Roman?
Romans.
Yeah.
Latin. Because I couldn't speak English at all. I used to read a paper or a book. I don't know what it's all about, but I used to get, because you got on it, for instance, like...
Well, the Romans invaded England, didn't they?
Wait a minute, I show you something, what I mean.
So,
for instance, this supporting. Yes. Support in Italian, I said supporto.
Oh, yes, yes.
Trade. No, wait a minute, trade is animal. Animal. Misery.
Yes.
Miseria.
Oh. For 200 years, the Romans were here, weren't they?
Brutal. So many, only got a little bit more, it's sort of like you got, I don't know, or accent, or some sort of, add to it, few words, few letters, I mean, a more, different accent. You go to Manchester, they said, different accent, you go and talk different. And to me, from beginning, not now, but from beginning, I was fascinated. I says, why don't they finish in Italian words? Or add, you finish even coins, he still says La Regina instead of Queen. They said La Regina, do you know that? Yeah. You know what it means, La Regina, the Queen? And is that is still in the Roman words. Now, wait there. Regions, La Regione. Yeah. It's so round, rotondo. Problem, problema. People, popolo. Terrified, I think it's terrific, I'm not sure this one. Suffering, sofferto. I tell you, it's about 50%, but somebody did say, I don't know that background history, but they said a Roman, a first one who brought the language to the Brittany.
So that's not very good news.
So you see, you haven't had a language until Roman.
No, they didn't. No.
Well, I can't speak very well
now. And you know, another thing. Where is Welsh language come from?
Welsh is. I didn't know. It's just fucking from the east somewhere, isn't it? Somewhere in the east.
India.
Naples. From Naples. Naples, they speak same language, do you know that? The Roman time, they occupied, as you know yourself, 300 years, they occupied the nearly half of the world.
Yes.
And when they occupied Britain, a mountain, they bought a lot of prisoners. And it's only people who could go on a mountain, it was Naples. And they left in Wales. And that, their origin is from Naples.
Oh, yes.
From Himalaya, anyway, that area.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it, when you think of all these languages. If we all come from Adam and Eve, then you'd think there would be just one language, wouldn't you?
Well, we had it this morning talk in the Watchtower, confusion of Babel, you know, when Jehovah confused them because they want to, they build the,
Can we just have a look at Genesis 11, is it?
Is it Genesis 11? No, 6. Genesis 11.
This is a page of Bible.
That's right, Genesis 11:1 says, now all the earth continued to be of one language and of one set of words. So where did all the other languages come from? It goes on to say, and it came about that in their journeying eastward, they eventually discovered a valley plain and the land of Shinar, and they took up dwelling there. And they began to say, each one to the other, come on, let us make bricks and bake with a burning process. So brick served as stone for them, and bitumen served as mortar for them. They now said, come on, let us build ourselves a city and also a tower that would stop in the heavens, and let us make a celebrated name for ourselves, for fear we may be scattered all over the earth. Well, that was God's command, wasn't it, that we should be scattered all over the earth. And they didn't want to be scattered all over the earth, so they built this, they wanted to make a name for themselves, didn't they? Come on, let us build ourselves a city, also a tower that would stop in the heavens to make, and let us make a celebrated name for ourselves. It's, the people today have just got the same attitudes, haven't they? They want to make names for themselves. So it mentions about, it says in Jehovah verse 5, says, and Jehovah proceeded to go down to see the city and the tower that the sons of men had built. After that, Jehovah said, look, there are one people and there is one language for them all. And this is what they start to do. Why now, there is nothing that they may have in mind to do that will be unobtainable for them. Come now, let us go down and there confuse their language. You'd be speaking to angels there, wouldn't you, or to Jesus, and to confuse their language that they may not listen to one another's language. And accordingly, Jehovah scattered them from there over all the surface of the earth. So, and that was God's purpose for them to be spread out all over the earth, because God knew that city life would only break down. And all these centuries have passed since then, and there's evident proof throughout the earth that cities don't work. So God had his own way, because his way is the only one that works. And that's, I mean, when we pray for his kingdom to come on the earth, that will replace all the ongoing kingdoms that we have today. So, one thing about language.
Yeah.
Now, you speak the Russian language, Rob, don't you? I'm saying this now for the benefit of the tape.
Yeah.
Explain. Speak the Russian language. And Vadim, when he came by, he said he was saying it's not safe for us to go, you were saying.
Well, he telephoned me a week after, didn't he? He says he's at home and everything's going all right, and he's already sent us the invitation. But I had no invitation.
Right.
I had nothing yet. But on a news said Ukraine already put barriers. They're not allowed telephone calls, not out, not in. Close postage as well, so it must be something stopping there.
Yes.
So I don't think it's advised. What time we said will be news? It's not very good even now. They all put Lenin on top now, and they try to get rid of Yeltsin.
Oh, yeah. Is it on the telly now? What time is it
coming? Well, quarter to ten will be one, and then ten.
No, it'll be 9:45, I think, will be one. So it's not very good. I'm not surprised, so you better be.
I wouldn't go.
No, it's too dangerous. You're going to be revolution in there. And
we're going to Australia instead.
We're going to Australia or Jamaica somewhere.
Well, you know, really, I can't see any point of staying around here myself. It's just my mum, really. If anything happened to her, then I'd move, you know. I'd move from the Newcastle or Stockholm Centre area.
How old is your mum?
86.
She's big age. Is she still with you?
She's in a home.
This one? No. Oh, no, this is a dog.
Well, the Maybank.
86, big age.
Mm.
Is she in the truth?
No, she's never been in the truth.
Very, very confusing this is. The world is going upside down and you don't know what's going to happen next, you see. For instance, looking a year ago, 2 years ago, the Berlin Wall was standing and the Russian Empire was feared all over the world. And now this day, it just fell on its face.
That's just 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just fell on its face.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame that the land like that, rich in everything, neglected themselves to that state that they're begging for food.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable.
Yes.
But yet when you look in Book of Daniel, which he talks about the North King and the South King.
Yes, it does.
They'll be fighting and shoving and pushing for the power. And then it says that it would look as though the North King will take spread all over the earth. And then it says gradually he will go right back to his home, gradually will be stepping back right back to his home, and there's going to be no helper for him.
Yes.
Look what happened. The communism just fell on its face without a one shot.
It's amazing that, Susanna, isn't it? It really is amazing. What you said, how long ago was it wrote?
2 years.
Daniel was living, you know better than I do. How many centuries Daniel was living before Jesus' birth?
Yeah, well, it was way before Jesus, wasn't it?
That's it.
Way before Jesus.
So the prophecy was written then by Daniel for our time. And it just happened in our, because you know when he was, when he finished the book written, and he said, I have seen the visions, and I've heard the voice, and I've written down what I was told to do, but I do not understand. And then the voice said to him, well, close that down. That book is not for you to understand. the generation that it's written for, it's written for the end of the times. They will come to understand it. And you see, we actually witnessing what's happening.
Yeah.
What Daniel wrote then, it's happening in our time.
Yes. But when you say for the end of times, you get some people saying, yes, it's always the end for some country, always collapses or what may happen. It's always the end for some government or country.
Mm.
But now this is the end for worldwide, isn't it?
Yeah. This,
well,
this is the end for the political system. You see, the half of it is collapsed already, the North King. So you see what's happening in the South King.
Well, yes. I mean, was it 1987 when the stock market flapped?
Yeah.
And I did hear, somebody told me like that the reason house prices shot up, it went three times as high in value in what, matter of months?
Yeah.
And somebody said it was because since the stock market flapped, people drew out and put the money in building societies.
Mm.
Building societies were bursting at the seams, didn't want to, and banks as well, didn't know what to do with all this money. So if somebody went in for a loan and asked for 50,000, they'd come out with 100,000. They couldn't get rid of it. Give it to people, a lot of people that really weren't safe gambles,
mm-hmm.
and now they're not paying back. And the houses have come down. And so what people are doing, or some people that have bought these houses, they're just giving the keys back and they're deserting the house. Because if they tried to sell it now, they couldn't.
Mm.
And not just that, it's probably 30,000 less in price. Mm. And they probably haven't paid that much, any, you see, since they bought the house.
Mm.
Probably haven't paid that much. So these ones that lent the money out, and really, and their own greed they suffered, because they probably thought that if we don't lend them the money, somebody else will, and get the interest, and they'll grow bigger, and perhaps overtake us, you know, take over our business. So it's sort of selfishness and greed that they've lent this money out, which bounced back, you see. It's bouncing back on them. And this, everything's bouncing back on everybody now. It
mm-hmm.
seems to be that way, doesn't it? Everything seems to be failing. I remember years ago, say months ago, one of the local estate agents was writing in one of the property news, I think it was, or the advertiser, saying now is the time to buy. Well, it was about 12 months ago. Now's the time to buy, because house prices are going to start going up again. Well, since he had that wrote in the paper, they've come down even more.
Mm.
So these so-called experts, you can't believe what they say. The only way, really, is to... The scriptures, don't they say, give us an accurate description of what's happening in our time. Anything of what he says in 2 Timothy 3, that's typical of our day, isn't it?
Mm.
Too typical of what's happening.
Lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, lovers of everything but God.
Yes.
But his command.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shame though, such a beautiful countries, and just go to any length to destroy it.
Yes.
And you know, first time when I went on a plane and I looked down, I wasn't in a troop then, and I said to my husband, why people want to go paradise of heaven? I said, look down, how beautiful it is, really beautiful,
yes,
all greenness, then going over the sea, blue, and it was so beautiful. I said, well, Catholic, they used to say, when you die, you're in paradise. I said, well, you want to go up there, somewhere else, paradise, when it's in here. And look what happened, they ruin. So it'd be...
Which again is a Bible prophecy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Revelation 11:18. Mm. That'll bring to ruin those
to
ruin
up, ruin the earth, Shame.
When were you thinking if you went to going to Canaries any time? You're spending all your money you pair on these holidays.
We were going to go to Canaries, but then we were looking at Jamaica.
Or anyway, I got a friend
Barbados.
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 Oh, because we have to see in the teletext if they let us sit. But I just talked to Jamaican people, and they said their friend, he got some contact, one thing, some other. Then later on, this lady says, no, it's best thing to do, go to where?
At all.
They said, it's no use going somebody you don't know, you never seen and trust. They might take your money and that's it.
Well, Jamaica, you know, it'll be cost dearer to get there, won't it? But I think the pound goes a lot farther there. We probably feel like a millionaire in Jamaica. Because it was like in the same in Poland, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yes, but I've been told by these people who've been to Jamaica. Says if you give £5 tip for the what's and they don't like it, it's not enough. They won't speak to you no more. £5 tip is not enough.
Well, I'm not going there.
I won't give them a tip if that's the attitude.
That's the best way not to give them. No, it's too cold in England. We like go somewhere.
Mind you, you say it's too cold, but this last few years, you know, we've not really, well, we had some snow last year, didn't we?
Mm.
But when I was younger...
It's a lot warmer now than it was. I remember when we came to England, it was a terrible few winters, I remember, really hard ones.
Yes.
But now, this last few years, it's a lot warmer winter than we remember at the beginning.
Yes.
So it shows that... you know, the globe is warming up. Even in Russia, where I went, my mother, where I was staying at Donetsk, there was 5 meters snow sometimes. It came and it just blocked your windows and blocked your doors, and you were inside the house and you couldn't get out unless somebody comes and gets you out. And it's nothing like it
there
now.
They haven't seen snow for ages now.
It's exciting though when you get deep snow, isn't it?
Yeah.
For a bit, like, I suppose.
But it freezes that quick that when it falls overnight and then by the morning it frozen so hard that you can walk on top of it.
Yeah.
And not go through. You know,
and once you go through you stay there.
You freeze to that, wouldn't you?
Oh no, you don't freeze when you're in the snow. You don't freeze because it's colder in the snow than it is. It's warmer inside the snow than it is up on top.
Yes, that's it. It is. It was a nice change for me to come to Crewe on Thursday.
Oh yes, what brought you then?
Well, there's a couple of things that took me there. You know Dagfield's Farm? Do you know Dagfield's Farm?
No, I know. You've told me somewhere Boar's Head. Yeah. I know where that is, yes.
Yes. Well, you know... If you come to the Boar's Head, it's on a crossroads, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, coming from Batley
up
to the Boar's Head,
go
straight over the road, over the crossroads and straight over.
Yeah.
You come to Dagfield's Farm, about a quarter of a mile up there.
I see.
And they do, well, I used to have potatoes off that farm.
All the way to Nantwich?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mind you, can you get to Nantwich turning right?
You can.
Yeah, well, you go straight over, coming from Batley, straight over that road. And because there was no money in potatoes, his sheds, etc., and his barns, he's converted them and he's letting them off as craft places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in one of these craft places where I met this lady. She sort of works there or owns it for 2 days a week and she served teas. And so I could do with somebody seeing her.
Mm.
Even though for the next little bit I'll be seeing her myself as well, but somebody else to go is only an additive incentive, so sort of, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What's it say? How glorious. What's it say about the good news of the feet? How comely are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And they knit jumpers as well there, and cardigans, and I took them a cardigan I bought from Blacks in Newcastle.
Mm-hmm.
This cardigan was £62.
Mm-hmm.
but it's really nice, you know. And it's, I'm seeing that she could knit me one the same, you know. But she, I had to leave her my cardigan, and she's going to tell me when to go back. But whether she will or not, I don't know.
How do you know brother, what's his name, Jones?
Brian
Jones. Yeah. And Pamela.
I got to know them. Can you remember Taylor?
He died. He was living in Antwich, brother Taylor.
Oh, you were thinking of Bert?
Yeah.
Oh, I used to know Bert. But this, I got to know Brother Jones from this other Brother Taylor. And he's always been a sort of a strongly self-opinionated sort of person. But he's changed a lot. I can tell by talking to him last week, he's changed a lot. You know, he isn't the same person. You know, he's sort of more humble.
Well, he's a ministerial servant at last. he was just sitting there on nothing, you know, for years since I came into the truth. He wasn't doing at all nothing, and then lately, because he did have a business, and then he had some pigeons, racing pigeons, and he was all involved more in making money, and you know. And then gradually he's got rid of the things that were actually took a lot of his time. So he spends a lot of time now with his family and in the truth. So he's a ministerial servant. I'm friendly with them. You know, I go every Wednesday there for, when I can, every Wednesday, because something always creeps up on a Wednesday to keep me away from them. Sort of for tea, and then with Priest Tony for the Thursday meeting, like, you know.
Did you see that house he built himself?
Oh, yes. After funeral, you know, my husband, we went to, like a reception there, you know. He offered the house for all the brothers to come in, and there was laid out sandwiches and the cakes and quiche that you've made and different things, you know. We all went to back to their house.
It was all the rooms upstairs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was all them rooms upstairs, the big house, wasn't it?
He's got another one.
Yes. Yeah. He sold that house.
It's an old people's home now, private, yes. Old people's home. He sold that one on the way to Leighton Park,
yes.
Leighton Hospital.
Yes.
Oh, he sold that a long time ago. He's built a bungalow now. They live,
yes,
in a bungalow now. Beautiful house. You haven't been in a new bungalow then?
Well, before he built that bungalow, he went and he bought a council house, didn't he?
Yes.
And knocked that inside out.
Yes. Yes, that was his business, to buy the houses run down and then renovating them and then selling them off again, you know. But it was good when the houses went in prices up, but now when they go down, he's not doing very well just now, you know.
No, he said he wasn't when I spoke to him.
Yeah.
But that house by Lake and Hospital, was it about 100,000 he sold that for?
120,000, I think. And then about 10 months later, that house could have gone for 300,000.
Yes.
So he sold it in the wrong time. He could have held on to it another few months and got a lot of money for it. But it was a private people, sort of somebody how you call those yuppies? They bought it first, and then they couldn't keep up. So they've sold it, and somebody bought it, and they made it into private.
The yuppie sold for 300,000, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They snapped it up at that price that he sold, and then they couldn't pay. When the time came, you know, everything went up. So they sold it and bought something else, and they've made a lot of money on that, so they paid it off and they had a lot of money on their hands.
Yes.
That's how people live these days, you know. My daughter did the same thing with her husband, you know, there in the truth. They had bought the house in Northup Hall, big mansion like, you know. And he had a business he built a business in the stables. There was like a stable. So he renovated and gutted it out and renovated, made a business, engineering business attached by the house. And they only paid 78,000 when they bought it. And then when they've sold it, they got about 380,000 for that. And he hired now these units.
Oh, yes.
He put his business, he hired a unit, bought a unit, and he put the business in the unit somewhere away from the house. And they bought a house for 180,000. And she says, and I've got a lot of money in the bank now. So she says, I don't have to work. But the business, they want to sell it, and nobody's buying because of recession. But as soon as anything will change, Billy said that he wants to get rid of it because they want to go pioneering now.
And what's the business? What commodities?
Engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah, pumps and seals and different things. All kind of pumps, water, gas, petrol pumps, everything, whatever, you know. And they're making their own. He buys the rough, the
metal.
Yeah, and they make their own. He's got all the machinery and all the people, they make their own pumps.
Well, he's gent up then, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. So, that's how people get rich quick. Knowing when and how.
I don't know so much about knowing when and how so much, because I mean, who thought prices of houses were going to go up as they did? You know, and I knew a young woman that was buying a house, and these people said, oh, we're not just ready to move yet, we're not. And during this time, the houses were rocketing up in price, and she couldn't afford one after.
Mm.
She couldn't afford it, and they still didn't sell them people, they kept her waiting and waiting. Prices were moving up. She could afford at the beginning. Mm. What the price the houses went up to, she couldn't afford. She's renting somewhere now. Mm.
I know when we've sold the house, when our children all went and left us, the house was for 3 bedrooms, right? And I said to my husband, I don't want to stay here because they built a school outside behind our backyard. And all the rubbish that kids threw over, you know, and I said to him, I don't want to stay now, kids gone, children gone, left home, got married and went off. I said, I don't want to live here, I don't want to retire to stay at home and listen to the kids at school all day long and have all the rubbish thrown over the hedge. So we started to look for something, and I wanted a bungalow, I didn't want a house again. Just the 2 bedrooms, I thought would be nice. So what we did, we found this bungalow in Haslington, and we put up our house for sale. It was 17,500, and this bungalow we bought 17,650. So all I had to add is £160 to sell the house, but the house needed change all the windows, to put all the windows and the doors, because they were all rotting, you know, because the house was built before the Second World War. And what we did, we put up in 3 months' time, my house went, and we were moved. In September, we started to sell. in January, we've been living in the new bungalow. And then about 3 years later, they built a row of bungalows on the other side where there should have been. They kept the land. It should have been shops, and then they've changed their minds. They didn't build the shops, but they built all these bungalows again on the other side. You've been to my house, yeah? So the road, that over the road, these bungalows were about 3 years later than ours, and they were going down for £32,000. And I bought my £17,000. £750, yeah.
Quite surprised as regards Jane.
Eh?
I'm surprised as regards Jane.
Oh, Jane. Yeah. Well, she's been suffering with that back a long, long time.
Over the back?
Yeah. Why are you surprised? What have you heard?
Well, but they're not attending.
Meeting. She's supposed to be one of the remnant. And I can't understand myself that, because she was baptized together at the same time as I was.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Do you know Jane from the
yes.
youth?
I think I knew her about 6 years ago when I got to know her. Been up her house a time or two, where she used to live. Oh, been up the one before. I've been up the one at Bridgemere.
Bridgemere, yeah.
And I've been up the one before that.
Yes, yes. Well, we can't talk, you see, we don't know. We don't know what's happening, but she's been suffering a lot with the back just now, and she put that off. You know, that because she's not attending the meetings, she can't sit. And if she comes to the meeting, she can't sit down. She stands up, props herself against the wall, and stands up right at the back. So, we don't know, you see.
How old is she?
She's about 40, isn't she?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
She's not old.
She
was baptized at the same time as I was, you know, same day, Manchester Assembly. That was 1974.
75.
No,
74.
Yeah.
So many
years. You know, what I was going to say is, are you interested in a caravan at Rudyard? But I don't know of one for sale now, you know. But for the price they are, and for the rent, it's very reasonable. The one I'm in, I paid £400 for it.
Yeah.
And the rent, when I'm going back 6 years now, the rent to leave it there for 12 months was only £70 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an extraordinarily low price. It's gone up now, £254.
Mm.
But that's only £3 a week. And it's beautiful there.
Where is that?
Rudyard.
Beautiful leak. Outside leak. I used to week, that's my story.
Yeah, but there's no sea or anything.
No, yeah, lake.
There's a lake that's 6 miles all the way around. And the beauty of it is, it only takes, from here, it only takes half an hour to get there.
Mm.
Yeah. There's Rudyard Lake Hotel there. Quite a nice place where you can have a meal.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a lovely meal for £3.60.
Well, we were going to buy a caravan when my just before my husband died. We were sort of looking for a caravan. We'd gone and paid the deposit. We should have picked it up on a Saturday, and he died on a Friday, so I had to cancel. And only this week I told you, didn't I? They paid my deposit back, because it was a genuine tragedy. I didn't sort of made it up that I, you know, sometimes you pay the deposit and then you change your mind.
Yes.
You lose your deposit.
Yes.
But this time it was genuine tragedy, so he paid me all deposit that I put in. He paid me all back. You know, I don't want to go caravanning by myself.
Mm.
It was he that chose it, he wanted it, and you see, it just worked out that he didn't use it.
Well, there's, you know, there's no motorways near Rudyard. There's no... Well, as regards to main roads, there's only a couple, really. And the air's a lot better, because there's lots of trees there. And it's, you know, if you ever feel bad, well, I go there, and I feel different than ours, you know, because the air's so much better. Do you know, mating, our mating? I think he was in crew at one time, one of the anointed.
Who? Harold?
Yes.
Harold?
Yes.
Yes.
You know Harold? Because he got married, didn't he?
I know, at his age, I was surprised. Yeah. I was surprised. Why people in his age want to get married?
Wow. Companionship.
How old was
he's in his 80s, he's 90 or something.
84. 84. I think he was when he got married.
Yeah.
But
he married quite quickly after he lost his wife, didn't he?
Yes.
It's the only way you can get over your tragedy, I should say, when you married quick, because you got another company. Otherwise, you lock yourself inside the walls. You never.
But I don't want to forget.
It's not you forget, it saved your own life. It's in Irene, one of ours, she's Greek. She's only a young woman. She lost her husband, I think, 2 years ago, and she's already, because your nerves delicate, and if you keep on thinking, you're good for nobody then. You landed in a mental home, or stroke, or something.
You're all right, you've been perfectly.
And where did I land it? I landed in convent. I like home.
I've got you. I won't land in a convent.
You got me like convent, like a nun. No, see, no. She called me like a nun. Somebody else called me nun. That's nice.
Oh,
but I'd rather be a Jehovah's Witness than the Catholic nun.
It's still painful. It's only, what's today? 11th?
Yeah.
18. Another week. It's only been three months, so it's still fresh, isn't it?
Can't forget that.
To me, it's still not real. Sometimes I think, oh, I'm just here and then I'll go home and I'll see him. And then when you get there, it's just four walls. That's what it hits you off.
Yeah. Most hit me night. When I've been out, when somebody said, you go out evening or go see somebody in evening, and then I don't mind in daytime come back. Mm-hmm. But if I come back at night and I have to put that light on and it's empty, that's my fear coming. That's what makes me run away from heart. I was so scared. It seems to me you become like, what you call, frightened of, like you go going in a high place or and you feel like
claustrophobia.
Yeah. When I put light on,
you see, it's like being chopped in two, isn't it? It's serious, isn't it?
You know what it's in the Bible says, when the two get together, for God put a woman and a man together and they become one flesh. You read it, you think you understand what it means, but you don't really understand until you lose your partner.
Yes.
And then you become to understand that half of you just disappeared. The way I feel, I felt like it's just a shell left and all the inside just gone out, and I've lost something and I can't find it, and I'm looking and I'm any bit of noise or anything, I'm looking backwards, he's coming, and then I realize he's not there anymore to come. And then other days I just feel like I'm dangling in the air and I can see the ground and I can't touch it with my feet. Just somewhere right out. It's not real, you know, and then you get back to with a bump and know that it's real, and then it just tears left, nothing else. You can't help yourself in any other way.
No, you've done very well to survive as well as you have, Anna, up to now, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Mind you, the scriptures say they don't death where is your sting. Why? Can you explain that?
A what?
It says in here.
Death, where is your sting?
Yes.
Ah, that's after when Jehovah's going to destroy the death, yes.
Yeah, destroy death. In other words, there'll be no more dying.
That's right. Yeah.
So when you
then is the question, where is your sting? Because it's going to finish one of those days. It's going to be
this feeling that you have now. Life won't be there, will it?
Yeah.
But just think, what about you see? What about the people that haven't got the hope that you have?
This is what I was thinking. What would I have? How would I feel now if I didn't have the truth? I'd be in real dumps.
Yes.
You know, I can understand now the people that haven't got the truth. When one of the maid dies, whether a woman or a husband dies, they want to die, they don't want to live, because I felt that. What's there for me left to live? My kids, they have their own families, their own time. They have no time. I brought up three children. I had a full-time job and I had time for every one of them to look after and to bring them up and to set them on the way to live, and not one of them became a criminal or something. You know, they all have nice jobs and nice people. One daughter is in the truth, the boys aren't. But now they're all set up and I'm left alone, and the children, three of them, haven't got time to look after me, to give me what I need, and especially one in the truth. That one is less getting in touch with me than the ones that are not in the truth. Boys ring me twice, three times a week. Julia rings every night. But Ted rings twice or three times a week. From Amanda, I could go, the ones that are in the truth should be a pillar for me now. Help. Give me a support or something. And from her I could go about 2 weeks not hearing at all. No phone call, nothing.
I don't think they realise, do they? And she probably thinks, oh, my mum's in the truth. She knows she's going to come back, you know. She's all right. She's all right.
Yeah, but it isn't